textile as well.
Near the entrance doors, Ryan, Christy, and the Shogun were farthest from the gas, which had started in a distant corner. Ryan now caught the first whiff of it and immediately found his eye watering, the back of his throat prickling, as though someone had sprayed pepper in his face.
Ah, shit!
Christy pulled out a kerchief and pressed it against her nose and mouth, standing still with her eyes shut.
Gaia, what is it?
Sarin gas, I think. There was a supply rift after terrorist actions in last pre-dark months. It kills. We cannot block the vents. There is not a hope. I regret that you will die with me in a fight not of your making.
It's not much of a fight, is it?
There was a little light filtering in through narrow strips of wired glass set in the entrance doors. Only about 3 inches wide, they offered no chance of escape. But Ryan stumbled toward them, holding the Sig Sauer in front of him, dragging Christy with him. Mashashiga followed them, ignoring the mayhem behind him, as men fell down, bleeding from the eyes, nose, and mouths, hands clawing at their own faces to try to relieve the agonizing effects of the gas.
Can't get through there!
Ryan pressed the muzzle of the heavy gun against the nearest panel. He then moved the Sig Sauer to the second strip, and then the third. He then pressed the barrel out into the cool air of the hallway.
Someone will hear it come.
Behind them, it was a nightmare. Ryan glanced over his shoulder, wiping his screaming eye, and saw that the gas was still vomiting from the vents, swirling around, flooding the lungs of every man there.
This. Use it as it is well.
Christy placed the double-action Smith & Wesson into Ryan's hand.
Push your face against the holes. Get a bit of clean air.
And you, lover.
Is that enough room?
Ryan could feel the gas burning deep in his chest. His tongue felt swollen and tender, his lips as though someone had peeled them and rubbed them with sliced jalapenos. His right eye was watering, hot liquid gushing down his cheek. The raw socket of the missing left eye was brimming with fiery salt. He could already sense that he was losing control over his mind. The swirling feeling was like the worst jump he had ever made, but with the additional burden of choking gas.
Do it!
Ryan grabbed at Christy, his fingers locking in her tight curled hair. He forced her in front of him, onto her knees, pressing her face toward the shattered glass in the locked sec doors. Mashashiga was at his side, his sword drawn, holding back his own men in order to keep the doors free. Mashashiga's men were all around him, like weeping rabid dogs with strings of bloody phlegm dangling from their mouths and noses. Ryan felt Christy move against his hand, her fingers pinching his leg. He bent towards her face.
Mildred.
Ryan opened and closed his good eye, unable to tell any difference. There was so much pain, he was blinded by it. The darkness gathered around his legs and swept up his body like a rising black tide. And he was sinking into it, admitting to himself that the waters around him had grown and grown. Ryan opened his eye, then rolled on his side.
Want some water, lover?
He'd closed his eye with the sharpness of the coughing, but now he cautiously opened it again. His field of vision was filled with what looked like a veil of living fire. He blinked to try to clear his sight, feeling a flood of salt tears coursing down his stubbled cheeks. The vivid scarlet banner that waved in front of him was the hair of Christy Roth. She sat in a folding chair at the side of his bed.
Water?
Yeah, helps. We can bathe your eye later and rinse out your mouth.
Yeah.
It seemed that while he'd been unconscious, someone had crept by and filled his throat with red-hot coils of barbed razor wire, and that the inside of his mouth and his tongue lacked any skin. Also, his lips were blistered and tender.
Sit up.
Christy put her arm around him, eased him into an upright position, and held a glass of water to his mouth for him to sip at. He tried to push the glass away.
Slow and easy, lover.
Gradually, the memory of the last moments before diving into the dark lake came back to him.
You all right?
Yeah.
Mashashiga. He make it?
In the next room. He's real sick like you, but Mildred says he'll pull through all right.
Mildred, open the doors for us?
She heard the shooting and came running. Got here just in time for you and me and Mashashiga.
The others?
Not many made it.
The sarin gas chilled them.
JB says there's no doubt that's what it was. Sarin. Says the Nazis developed it, and then it got used a lot by terrorist groups in the States and in parts of the Far East. Lethal stuff. Cheap and easy to make as soon as you got the right chemical mix.
How many dead?
Not sure. By the time the doors were opened, most of those who'd been on the far side of the ballroom had already received a fatal dose. Drowned in frothing fluid that filled their lungs. Bastard way to go.
Tell me about it, lover. So, the death toll was high?
100 dead, or so badly tainted by the gas that Mildred says they won't last the next 24 hours. Only about a dozen are going to make it.
Fire blast. Bad as that?
Christy looked at him, and he saw that her vivid emerald eyes were streaked with red, the lids swollen and sore.
Almost a perfect trap.
Near enough for me.
Yashimoto wants to chase after the Ronin. Hideyoshi is all for caution. Points out that the Ronin most likely outnumber us now. He thinks we should try and get back safe to the Vill soon as possible.
Yeah, sounds right to me.
But neither of them will want to move a muscle until Mashashiga recovers.
What's our total force now?
The six of us, Mashashiga, Yashimoto, and Hideyoshi, and four or five of the top samurai. Half a dozen men who were with the Wags. Very few survivors from the ballroom.
Men on sentry watch.
Seems they saw someone snaking out of the motel, presumably after he'd set the gas going. He slipped over the edge of the cliff and they lost sight of him. Samurai with them claims the Ronin must have been chilled, but there's no proof.
Ryan swung his legs over the side of the bed.
Ugh. Whoa.
Let me help you.
No, I'm all right. I'll be all right. Doesn't much matter whether the man triggered the gas is alive or dead. Like to think the son of a bitching bastard bought it, but it doesn't matter much one way or the other.
They say they'll have to dump the corpses into the sea. No way we can bury them or take them back to the fortress.
True. Water's so contaminated, it won't make much difference.
Shakily, Ryan stood.
Mildred said that the more water you drink, the quicker you'd feel better. And take slow, deep breaths. Get rid of all the sarin inside you.
Oh, I hope she's right.
As in all matters medical, Dr. Mildred Wyeth knew what she was talking about. By noon, after drinking about 5 pints of water, Ryan was feeling more himself. He had washed out his eyes several times until it ceased weeping. The pain in his chest was still there when he took a particularly deep breath, but that too seemed to be easing with every hour that passed. He found Mildred out on the field behind the motel, where corpses lay in serried ranks, with a dismally small number of survivors receiving her attention. Other than the grim context, it was a heavenly morning, with a bright sun peering over the mountains to the east of the motel, sparkling off the calm ocean. He walked across to where she was crouched over one of the sick men in his bright red and white uniform. But this man's clothes were stained with blood, vomit, and excrement. Ryan had already learned that a significant number of those most seriously afflicted by the murderous gas had lost control of both bladder and bowels. He touched Mildred gently on the shoulder.
Just wanted to say thanks for doing the business, Mildred.
I wish I could do the business for a few more of these poor bastards. We need to get them home as soon as possible. The quicker we do that, the better their chances of pulling through successfully.
Mashashiga, you got anything to say on that?
Not a lot. I thought that John Dix was a man of few words, but he's positively garrulous compared with the Shogun.
Doc says he's spoken to Mashashiga, and we're pulling out of here just before dusk. We'll move at night. Reduces the risk of the Ronin coming at us. Be sitting targets for them at the moment.
You think they'll attack again?
Don't see why not.
Ryan thought about the tactical aspects of what had happened, and of what might happen.
They had to have a contingency plan in case the gas didn't work. Outnumbered, they must have withdrawn a good distance. Leave scouts close by to wreck on us.
So?
So they'll know by now how successful they were. But they know we'll be on triple red alert. Won't come at us now out here in the open. Now, if I was the leader of these Ronin, I'd wait. Try and circle around. And then maybe stage an ambush sometime tomorrow. That's my guess.
They set off as Mashashiga had wanted, leaving the site of the slaughter as the sun disappeared behind a dusty bank of cloud away to the west. The Wags were loaded with the sick and the dying.
I doubt that more than a dozen of those are going to make it back home.
This left the Shogun with a total force of less than 25, not counting Ryan and the others. The rocky coastline was littered with the drifting corpses of the dead sect men, mostly floating face down beneath the cliff from which they'd been tumbled. Ryan had been watching the grim procedure, seeing the way an occasional V-shaped fin appeared in the calm water.
More and more of the sharks scented the feast and arrived.